land of the free. Has anything changed at home? Sweet liberty.
To Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on Sweet Liberty tonight. It is Wednesday. Excuse me, it's Wednesday the 2nd of May in the year 2007. And, our spiritual message this evening, I pulled this last week, sometime about 5 or 6 days ago, and it reminded me a lot of the information that came from the DVD, The Secret, that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Our emotions. Remember, and I know that you've heard me say this over and over again, that the negative emotions that we carry around, the anger and hatred and et cetera, in my mind, help to feed the beast, if you would, the system in which we live today. And this is pretty much says it all. This is from A Course in Miracles, from the text, page 84. This is about anger. It says, anger cannot occur unless you believe that you've been attacked, that your attack is justful in return, or justified, and that you are in no way responsible for it. You want to hear that again? Anger cannot occur unless you believe that you have been attacked, that your attack is justified in return, and that you are in no way responsible for it. Something to consider. I was talking to a very good friend a couple weeks ago, and he had been married before, and whenever I noticed when he talked about his former wife, I could hear the anger in his voice. And we talked about that, you know, being able to let that go and not carrying it around, because the anger that we feel doesn't hurt the person we're angry with. It hurts us. It's destructive. It's destructive to our emotional and our physical body. And I wanted to share that with you tonight. And I have something else here. Now, we don't have a guest this evening, folks. And I pulled an article up from the Washington Post today. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's on the news. Maybe you've heard it on the news. I don't watch the news anymore. But I do, you know, go through my emails, and I do subscribe to the Washington Post and New York Times, etc., online, and just usually skim their headlines to see if there's anything that I want to pull up or print out or keep, put in a file. This is really dangerous. The headline, though, you all are familiar, I'm sure, with the death of all the animals, the pets of people, from the tainted pet food. By the way, whatever it was that they put in the food came from China. Excuse me here. And they said the name of the chemical. I went to the FDA's website to check it out, to make sure that I didn't have any of the food that was tainted for my girls here. And they gave the name of the chemical, but they didn't say that the chemical was rat poison. But that's what's been killing the animals. According to this article, I think they said there have been about 8,000 become sick, and at least half of those died. I was speaking to a friend today, a gentleman that lives in my area, and in a real small town. he has a friend who's a veterinarian, and the veterinarian said that he has treated either 300 or 400 pets in one small town, folks. I guess Walmart, I mean, from what I gather. Another friend today was telling me that their cat died from the pet food, and his wife checked out the number on the packaging, and sure enough, it was one of the lot numbers that the FDA. Well, now we have chickens, and these are chickens that are out there, millions of them, and it's been going on for several months, so they would be probably, lots of them have been eaten, and they're in people's freezers. The headline says millions of chickens fed tainted pet food. Risk to consumers is minimal, the FDA says. Now, what this rat poison is doing is destroying the liver of the people. Excuse me, I have a frog in my throat and I'm not having a good time getting it out. I'm going to read that again. Millions of chickens fed tainted pet food. Risk to consumers minimal, the FDA says. I have a book here. Friends send it to me for Christmas. It's Kevin Trudeau's book, Natural Cures That They Don't Want You to Know. And it's a good book. It would scare the hell out of anybody. In fact, you don't want to breathe anymore, let alone eat or drink anything. But the point is, there is information in there for people who aren't aware of the food today, of the dangers of the food today that people are eating. And I remembered reading this, but I had forgotten that I had read it. In his book, he said that the FDA actually is funded in a great deal by the pharmaceutical companies, the drug companies. And he says that 55% of the employees at the FDA are paid directly by the pharmaceutical companies. Anyway, so the FDA is saying that the risk to consumers of this is minimal. The article says at least 2.5 million broiler chickens from an Indiana producer were fed pet food scraps contaminated with the chemical melamine and subsequently sold for human consumption, federal health officials reported yesterday. Hundreds of other producers, now this is one producer, 2.5 million chickens, and then it says hundreds of other producers may have similarly sold an unknown amount of contaminated poultry in recent months, painting the picture of much broader consumption of contaminated food, feed, and food than had previously been acknowledged in the widening pet food scandals. Officials emphasize they don't believe that the tainted chickens or the smaller number of contaminated pigs that were reported to have entered the human food supply, the officials don't believe that they pose risks to people who ate them. Now, once again, the animals are dying from a dysfunctioning liver. Liver failure, I guess. This is a quote from Andrew von Eschenbach. We do not believe, this is from the FDA, we do not believe there is any significant threat of human illness from this, he said. None of the farm animals is known to have become sick from the food, and very little of the contaminant is suspected of having accumulated in their tissue. Do you see how vague this is? None of the farm animals is known to have become sick, and very little of the contaminant is suspected of having accumulated in their tissue. Thus, no recall of any products that may still be on store shelves or in people's freezers is planned. So if you've recently bought chickens, folks, maybe you ought to just get rid of them. Maybe you ought to dig a hole and bury them. You sure don't want to feed them to your pets. Nonetheless, the article goes on, 100,000 Indiana chickens that ate the melamine-laced food and are still alive have been quarantined and will be destroyed as a precautionary measure, as will any other animals that turn up as the investigation continues to expand. The revelations are the latest in a rapidly widening scandal that started out with reports of a few deaths of pets. It has mushroomed into a major debacle that, even if no human injuries emerge, has exposed significant gaps in the nation's food safety system. And then it's saying here that Richard Durbin, Republican Democrat Richard Durbin, and another one here, yesterday introduced legislation that would give the FDA the power to order mandatory recalls of adulterated food. Now, as far as I know, the FDA has the already. I guess it's just a look-good thing. I believe they have the authority to do that now and to establish an early warning and notification system for tainted human or pet food and allow fines for companies that do not promptly report contaminated products. That's another thing that Kevin Trudeau in his book exposed, that whenever they fine a company for anything, the FDA keeps the money. Nobody gets it, just the FDA. At the center of the problem, oh wait, let me go back up here. I missed a small paragraph. Meanwhile, it says the FDA expanded the number of plant-based protein products from China. On its Do Not Import list, pending the completion of further tests on various kinds of glutens, protein concentrates, and other products. Now, you look at, you read labels on cans and boxes and jars, glutens, protein concentrate, etc., coming from China. At the center of the problem are pet foods spiked with melamine. That's rat poison, folks. A mildly toxic chemical that can make food appear to have more protein than it does. Most of the food went to pets, but scraps were sold in February to the Indiana poultry producer. The contaminated material may have made up about 5% of the chicken's total food supply. That small fraction, and the fact that people, unlike pets, do not eat the same thing day after day, suggests that consumers who ate contaminated pork or chicken would probably have ingested extremely small doses of rat poison. I'm saying that. They're referring to it as melamine. It's well below the threshold for causing health effects, officials said. Experts conceded, however, that they know little about how the toxin interacts with other compounds in food. And folks, they're not recalling them. Investigators are tracking streams of the contaminated food through several states. This is a quote. Our sense is that the investigation will lead to additional farms where contaminated feed may have been fed to either animals or poultry, said Kenneth Peterson of the Agricultural Department Food Safety and Inspection Service. Officials said that the FDA has received 17,000 reports of pets that owners believe were sickened or killed by contaminated food. About 8,000 reports, roughly half of them involving animals that died, have been formally entered into the FDA's tracking system for further analysis. These figures are probably one-tenth of what the actual figures are, folks. U.S. investigators have arrived in China, but inspections of production facilities there have been hampered by the start yesterday of a week-long national vacation. Essentially, all the officials are on holiday, said Walter Batts, part of the FDA's China team, adding that one Chinese official had stayed behind to help. I wonder if China took a national holiday because the inspectors were coming. I don't know. A national week holiday? I don't think so. And there's something else I wanted to, it reminded me of this. when it was talking, when I mentioned the numbers, how the numbers, I'm sure, have been skewed. There was a report that I got on an email. Some of you may have received it. I believe it was allegedly, and that's all I can say because I haven't verified this, but it does not in any way surprise me. It was one of the Iraqi soldiers who was stationed, whatever his job was, it was in the department where they report the deaths. And he said that about one out of every 10 U.S. soldiers that are killed over in Iraq is reported. Now, does that surprise you? Would that surprise you at all? And he used an example that recently there had been a truck blown up with 15 soldiers in it, and none of their deaths were reported. The incident wasn't even reported. So, I don't know what you're going to do with this information. On this broadcast, we've talked at length about the importance of farming, of growing. I'm not talking farming on a big scale. I'm talking vegetable gardens, folks. As much as you possibly can. And if you live in a city, if you have a backyard, you can turn your backyard into a garden. But I just, any of you who have children, and you know, it's amazing when my grandchildren come in the summertime, and even when they were littler, they were helping in the garden. They learned a lot. And when I let them plant certain seeds by themselves, those were the ones that they really kept their eyes on. And it was so exciting to them when their beans or their corn plants started coming up out of the ground. You see, if you have a family, everybody can be involved. And I would caution you also to make sure that you're using non-genetically modified seeds, because you're getting all the same junk in your food that you're growing. And don't use commercial fertilizers. Start a compost pile. And don't put weed killer and stuff like that on your grass. You don't have to do that. And you can mow the grass, and you can put the grass in and leaves and any of your fruit and vegetable peelings and et cetera, that all goes into your compost. And you can use that. And if you don't have a way to make a compost, there's wonderful natural fertilizers in the garden stores. I use kelp. A kelp and fish emulsion. It's a wonderful stuff. And it adds a lot of natural nutrients to your food. You can foliar spray with it, or you can just put it in water, dilute it, and put it around your plants. It's wonderful for a shot, a boost, I guess you would call it, just towards the end of the growing season. The point is, I'm not talking just now about the meat, but the vegetables and the fruits, the majority of them, according to Kevin Trudeau, anything we're buying at the grocery store is now, he calls it man-made. If it isn't natural, it's been fiddled with, it's been fooled with, genetically modified. When you get a lemon that doesn't have any seeds in it, or you get a tomato that doesn't even look like a tomato, and if you haven't gardened and grown your own tomatoes, you've forgotten what a tomato tastes like. I can tell you that. I can promise you that. There's just nothing like it, folks. And if you don't care about yourself, if you have children, I would say that this would be, and it's a perfect time of year to start planting your own garden. You can get heritage seeds, and the one place where I get mine is from Southern Exposure Seed Exchange. They've got a website. You can go to their website. You can order a catalog from them. Southern Exposure Seed Exchange. And can I guarantee you that they're non-genetically modified? No. But I believe in my heart that there are more than just that one that are saving seeds In fact, Seed Savers is another one. And you can even get Heritage Corn, non-hybrid corn. It doesn't come out as pretty with the, every absolute kernel looking perfect, but it's real. It hasn't been messed with. The one thing about hybrids, and this is what I was told. I don't know if this was from Roar Seed. Chuck and I went down to Lancaster one year, Pennsylvania, where the Amish live. Roar Seeds was down there someplace. And we were picking up seeds for the garden. And I was asking him about one of the men there about the hybrid seeds. He said, well, he said, the thing is that about 25% of them will germinate if you save seeds from hybrids, but it's always going to revert back to one or the other of the plants that it was hybridized with. So you may as well just get the natural thing. Or if not, at least don't get genetically modified. I don't know. This to me is it's criminal, of course. It is, isn't it? That this has happened and they're not even recalling the food. And I don't know. As I said, I don't watch the news. So I don't know if this has been... it was on the front page, I think, of the Washington Post. But be careful. And think about gardening. It is a wonderful, fulfilling, satisfying, and healthy thing to do, I can tell you that. Paul Von Ward, in his book, I've mentioned that statement before that he made, that nature is the physical level of reality. And when you're out there working in the beautiful soil and planting those seeds and watching them germinate and grow and thrive, it's a wonderful thing. And if you've never canned before or dried, you can go into the internet and find anything, instructions on how to do certain things. I know my first year here, the only thing I had ever canned were tomatoes and salsa before we moved here in 95, and I got, there's very little that I haven't canned. Now I even learned to make my own ketchup because I found out that the ketchup has high fructose corn syrup in it. So I went into the internet and I got a recipe for Hunt's ketchup, and all it is tomatoes and some vinegar and some spices. Doesn't have to have all that stuff in it. So you can do your own. Now, I'll tell you what, I'm going to be getting a hold of Paul Von Ward, mentioning him. He was on a few months ago, I think January was the last time, and I'm going to ask him to come back on because I found it, and I know that many of you did, found his information not only very fascinating, but the possibility of it being at least very close to the truth is, I believe it's great. And I've got an article here. I was going to do this last week, but I thought Dr. Begich wasn't going to come on. This is an article that Paul Von Ward did, and I'm going to read this to you tonight. There's a statement here, a quote. This is from a website called Lightworks. And by the way, if you are interested in getting his book, God's Genes and Consciousness, you can go to vonward.com, and down at the bottom it gives you the publisher, and you can pick the book up for $11.22, I think it is. But his work is quite, to me, it's quite fantastic. It says, subtle energy is always referred to as chi. I don't know if they call that chi or chai. Prana, Holy Spirit, mana, ether, orgone, biomagnetism, and zero point, among many other names in our current vocabulary. Regardless of the label, it appears to contribute to many phenomena not currently explained by conventional science. This article is the beginning of a series on discoveries by frontier scientists that provide insight into the multi-leveled nature of reality and the human senses and powers that lie beyond the world of the five senses. Such research provides for new hypotheses related to the existence of the three-faceted model of the universe: consciousness, subtle energy, and physical. And this does relate a lot to the video that I told you about called The Secret. If you didn't hear that broadcast, I think it was a couple of 3 weeks ago, I did a whole hour on it. I've watched the video twice and skimmed through it a third time to make notes for when I was going to share it with you, and I'll watch it again. I want to share this with everybody that I love and anybody that comes to visit that wants to sit down and watch it. But that's what they, when they were referring to the universe as being unformed substance in a sense, and our thoughts and our feelings, our emotions attract to us and basically create the world around us. Subtle energy refers to the medium through which consciousness acts on the realm of matter and energy. According to a National Institute of Health study, at least 52 terms are used for subtle energy. Regardless of the label, it appears to contribute to many phenomena not currently explained by conventional science: telekinesis, remote sensing, telepathy, gut or heart-based intuition, healing by prayer or other psychic means, biocommunication between species, etc. Since these phenomena have tangible effects that can be documented but not explained by the known principles of the electromagnetic field of matter energy, they require that we hypothesize another force through which conscious intent acts on the affected objects, senses, and cells. Some researchers, do you notice how he says I hypothesize? That's another thing I respect about Paul Von Ward. Never says anything as this is absolutely the way it is. Some researchers believe a fuzzy part of the electromagnetic spectrum beyond gamma rays constitutes this force, but that it has not yet been discovered due to the lack of refined instrumentation. Just as the harnessing of radio waves and X-rays had to await the development of new technologies, say these researchers, the development of more advanced machines will enable humans to make use of this fuzzy EM field. Others, including myself, this is the author Paul Von Ward, others, including myself, work on the hypothesis that this force field exists in correspondence but parallel to the electromagnetic spectrum and may not have the constraints of that spectrum, such as the speed of light. More elaboration on the implications of this hypothesis for theory: David Baum and other physicists' concepts of non-local fields of energy or information and research, space-to-based experiments that challenge the speed of light limitations on the transfer of information, comes in subsequent articles. Here, we focus on the work of one subtle energy researcher, Cleve Baxter. And folks, we're going to be taking our 3-minute break coming up here, and I'll be back with you, and I'll be able easily to finish this and some before our next half hour is up. This is a fascinating, very fascinating, so you stay tuned here, and I'll be right back with you, okay?
I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, one holy nation under the heavenly Father with grace, mercy.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
If you read the history books, the most often asked question to Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is, because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War from the Old Pass Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free? Or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. Get this DVD presentation for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Call 559-781-3773. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today.
Okay, we're back here. All right, now I'm going to mention the name again. He says here, we focus on the work of one subtle energy researcher, Cleve Baxter. Baxter's work in the late 60s and early 70s was an important impetus for the best-selling book, The Secret Life of Plants, by Peter Tompkins and Christopher Bird. I should get that book. I know I'd be fascinated reading it. I guess you can only read so much, can't you, folks? In the 1980s, Baxter's work was chronicled, by Robert Stone in The Secret Life of Your Cells. Now listen to this. His research journey started with the 1966 almost accidental discovery that plants are sentient and respond to the spontaneous emotions and strongly expressed intentions of relevant humans. In parentheses, J. Chandra Bose of India had demonstrated a similar principle in the early part of the 20th century. Using an instrument to measure galvanic skin responses, GSR, a part of his polygraph or lie detector stock in trade, Baxter attempted to determine whether it would measure the moment of rehydration of a plant whose roots were freshly watered. It did not, But to his surprise, the GSR meter registered his threat to burn the plant leaf when he spontaneously thought of the idea. Prior to that experience, Baxter was noted as one of the foremost experts in the use and interpretation of the results of the polygraph test. Over the last 30 years, he has maintained that reputation and enhanced it. In fact, his refinements on previous polygraph techniques have earned him a worldwide reputation. They have been validated by the Johns Hopkins University Applied Physics Lab. Physics. His mastery of the theory and practice has benefited thousands of specialists who have practiced in or learned from the principles taught in Baxter's San Diego-based Baxter School of Lie Detection. He now serves as an advisor or faculty member for several research and educational institutions. These extraordinary professional credentials are important because the same scientific acumen and experimental rigor are applied to his research observed by me during several days of lab work with Cleve in February 1998 on what he calls primary perception and others call the Baxter effect. Subsequent to his accidental discovery, an amazing series of experiments demonstrated that the expression of genuine emotion and intent by humans caused measurable reactions, and that's what he refers to, parentheses, primary perception, measurable reactions in the cells of leaves, fruit, and vegetables. They also reacted to behaviors or changes in states of animals and insects. Conversely, in what Baxter labeled fainting, plants ceased their normal functioning when horrific treatment, burning, scalding, and chemical destruction was continued on the parallel materials, or when the presence of hostile individuals were reintroduced into the lab. This reaction seems to correspond to shock syndrome in humans. We're talking about plants here, folks. More detailed protocols demonstrated that plants possess some discriminatory capability, making them capable of distinguishing individuals who have either destroyed related plants or have very positive intentions. They seem to know who has the sentiments to become a, quote, green thumb. Now, I want to share with you, this is an article that I read a long time ago, and it was in the 60s, in my dad's Argosy magazine, and it was about this exact thing that Cleve Baxter had just discovered. I had a plant there that, oh my goodness, it was a philodendron. I had the thing, poor little thing, sitting on a shelf on a wall a long way away from, you know, the window, and every now and then thought to water it. It was a very scraggly, poor-looking little thing, but I really wasn't into plants at that time. And anyway, the demonstrations or the experiments that Paul von Ward was talking about here, the first one happened when he was actually taking care of these a plant or a couple of plants for a friend, and that's when he decided to put the electrodes on the leaves to see if he could, if the plant would register after he watered it. Nothing was happening, so he thought, well, maybe if I put hot water in it, and he noticed that that's when it began to register some type of an emotion. And then he thought, well, geez, what would happen if I burned one of these leaves with my cigarette? And the thing really went nuts. The emotion that was registering on this meter. So anyway, he kept the plant hooked up. And it was the day that the plant's owner, and this is why Paul von Ward mentioned related human beings, because the plant's owner was due back from wherever she had been going. And at one point in time during that day, the plant began to register very strong emotion, and it kept doing it for quite a while. And he made notes of it. Well, when she came to pick the plant up, she was telling him that when they were coming in to land for their flight, they couldn't land because the landing wheels wouldn't come down. she got really frightened. And it was as right exactly at that same time period when her plant was registering emotion. So the plant was picking up on her fear. Now, don't you find that fascinating? That's what got me into plants. And then, you know, from there, another one I remembered that they did two more. They had, let's say, 10 plants in a room. And, or a few plants, whatever. They had several people drawing straws. And one of the persons who drew the short straw, whatever, whichever one it was they had to walk into the room and tear a plant up. But the way they did this, that each individual walked into the room and closed the door, stayed there for about 3 or 4 minutes, and then came out. And then the other person would walk in, close the door, go through the same thing. When the person came in that drew the straw that had to tear the plant up, he literally destroyed one of the plants and then walked out, closed the door. So nobody knew who did it other than the person. Then one by one, they began bringing the people into the room, back into the room. And they were there. They were all there. And as the guy walked in that tore the one plant up, all the other plants there started registering emotion. They were afraid. Well, it was an emotion. And it sounded like fear to me. And then they did another one where they had live brine shrimp. They had a boiling pan. And they had this little lid that they had live brine shrimp in the lid. And they left the room. There was nobody in the room. But at a certain time, the lid would close down and these brine shrimp would fall into the boiling water and die. And at that exact time that those brine shrimp were dying, the plants were registering emotions. And when I read this, it just absolutely awed me. It did. And that's when I got into plants, folks. And I can tell you this, I've had enough of my own experiences. I couldn't call them scientific, experiments or anything, but I've certainly had my own experiences with plants that I see and sense that they sense us. They certainly do sense us. And the reason to me this is important and why I want to share it with you is because it is what Paul Von Ward calls interspecies communication. That every living thing in this physical realm has a consciousness, a form of consciousness. Consciousness is in all things. That, in my mind, is our creator, our source. I'm not saying a tree is God. I'm saying that energy, that consciousness that is in every living thing is our source. And I had one, I will share this one with you because this was a beautiful experience for me. I've always loved being in the woods. I mean, always when we took vacations, all I wanted to do was go camping. Of course, we lived in cities and just to get out of those cities, but I never realized why, I had any reason to know why that I loved so much and felt so good being out in the woods. And my home in Illinois was in a wooded subdevelopment, and all the furniture in my home was real wood. I was meditating one day. I was sitting in my bedroom, sitting on the floor. I had a place where I could sit against the wall, and I had meditated. When you're meditating and your mind is very quiet, really what we're doing is tapping into that subconscious mind that is usually, we're not tapped into it because we're focused so much in the physical here. Anyway, I opened my eyes, I looked across the room, and the bedstand by the bed was right across from me, and there was a white glow around it. I could see it, and it was out about 10 inches. I don't mean like a 10-inch ring around it. I mean that light emanated out from that nightstand, all the whole wood, for about 10 inches out, and then it would go in, and it would go back out. And I sat there watching that wood breathe. And I could see in my peripheral vision that all of the wood in that room had that same aura around it. It only lasted for a few seconds, and then I was so taken with it, and I went to myself. I thought, wow. And as soon as I did that, I lost it. I didn't see it again. I've never seen it again. But I did see it, and I know what I was seeing. And it was the energy, the consciousness that was in that wood that I was seeing. Now, I'm going to go back here because he was a little bit getting off the plants. I want you to hear this. He says, and by the way, people, it says that the plants seem to know who has the sentiments to become a green thumb. Anybody has a green thumb if you love those plants, if you appreciate and know that that is a living, conscious thing. Not saying it gets its feelings hurt, but, you know, as they said, that they literally faint. I'm not saying that they think the way we think, but they certainly they feel and they respond to the feel. And Paul von Wart says, using a Faraday cage and lead containers to shield the plant, eggs or yogurt. Oh, excuse me, I've dropped a paragraph. Experiments with leukocytes, white blood cells, indicated that a bond of communication exists between an individual's thoughts and emotions and his cells after they're removed from the donor's body. Baxter collects cells from the mouth of a donor through a standard clinical procedure, connects them to the electrodes / meter apparatus, and measures their reactivity to the donor's emotional shifts. These shifts can be caused by the donor's voluntary initiatives or their involuntary reactions to events or images, such as observed in photographs or movies. Split-screen videography of the donor's behavior and the metered response of the cell cultures when other causal or random influences are ruled out demonstrates some form of communication. Now, did you get that? They take the white cells from the saliva, they put them in some medium, and they're able to register it, and those cells are still relating or connected to the donor, to where the cell came from. Using a Faraday cage and lead containers to shield the plant, eggs, or yogurt, used to sense the biocommunication, his experiments appear to rule out the electromagnetic spectrum as the medium of transmission. Tests done with a distance of over 300 miles between a donor of white cells and the lab indicates that the communication bond is not affected by distance. The action and reaction appear to be simultaneous, like the split-pair photon experiments by physicists that show one half of the pair reacts instantaneously to actions taken on the other. Something to think about, don't you think, folks? And just think about this, that if these white cells are reacting to the emotions of the donor, how does our body react, respond to our thoughts, to our words, to our feelings? It is said that the body follows the mind, and we know that there have been cases, don't we? We call it miracles of spontaneous healing. And it is something for us to keep in our mind. Monitor, be aware of our thoughts, be aware of our feelings, make choices, because we can choose not to be angry. And all the other negative feelings that we can have, I'm not saying that we turn into robots or zombies, because we are human too, but to be aware of it and not to linger in those places, because the body is responding to that. Over the last 30 years, literally hundreds of experiments, I'm back to the article, have proved the existence of this biocommunication known as the Baxter effect. My own personal participation in one of these experiments left me without a doubt that a culture of yogurt in a shielded cage showed extraordinary reactions to feelings that were stirred up in me and two female colleagues as we discussed controversial gender and power use issues. Interestingly, the yogurt did not react to periods of intellectual discussion about the same issues. It only became agitated when our comments were charged with emotions. On the basis of this brief review, two characteristics of subtle energy communication are clear. It happens only when behaviors, thoughts, or talk are based in emotions or serious intent. Words or ideas per se do not elicit a reaction unless they've been energized by some force, such as subtle energy. Some process of prior attunement between the sender and the receiver is necessary for that communication link. Some higher level of awareness, or at least frequency resonation, is apparently involved. While we do not yet understand the full nature of the communication involved, nor the qualities of the medium, some implications emerge from Baxter's research. The demonstration of subtle energy communication supports the morphogenic field concept postulated by Rupert Sheldrake and others, where an intent-laden force field is transmitted from some beings to others through an as-yet-unknown medium. The reactions occur at the instant of expression of intent, not when a preset test is administered, thereby requiring a rethinking of scientific protocols related to the replication of experiments in the area of PSI research. The existence of interspecies communication at this level demonstrates the singular and apparently universal nature of consciousness. There it is. The medium involves the apparent existence of a force that can transfer intentions into changes into the physical realm. Okay, these are things to keep in mind if you do get the video or the book, The Secret. Because there's all kinds of research being done out here, folks, that quantum physics is catching up with metaphysics today. These implications alone lead to new hypotheses and experiments for better understanding of the power of inner sense communication, healing prayer, self-healing, and the dynamics of interpersonal hostility and attraction. They suggest practices for inter-being openness and protection. Such directions will be explored in more detail in subsequent articles. His articles are all listed at his website at vonward.com, and most of them, they're just there for you to download or print out. You can print them out. And that's the end of that article, folks. And I wanted to share that with you. And when he talked about protection, when I was in the School of Metaphysics, they did talk about us to protect ourselves from, let's say, dark energies, if you would, that we can visualize that light within us, beginning at the solar plexus, a white, bright light. And we can all visualize a light. I mean, if I say light bulb, you've got the picture in your mind of a light bulb. And if I say fluorescent light, you see that whiter light. You can probably see a fluorescent light bulb. And that's how easy it is to visualize that within you. And we used to do what we called a circle of light at the end of our classes, and it was a beautiful thing. But basically what they had us do is begin to focus our attention there at the solar plexus and see that light. Know that that light is you, and that light is love. That is the essence of who we truly are. And then in our imagination, allow that light to begin to expand and fill up the body, the entire body, your entire body filled with light. And then the body can no longer hold it, and it begins to flow out and around. That's our aura. and we did what they called a protective shield, that I am filled, surrounded, and protected by the light of God. I demand all dark energies leave my presence now. And you visualize that light glowing out around you, and nothing can approach you other than that which comes in love and friendship. And that's the shield. And I had read someplace that if we do that, anytime we're feeling not good, and it doesn't have to be frightened, but if we're feeling down, if we're feeling negative, just begin to do that. See that light, expand that light within you. Let the light flow out and around. And it protects you from the negative energy around you. And that's why they say that curses come home to roost. If somebody sends you some real negative energy, and your energy is high, that vibration is so high, it can't even resonate with you. That's why love encompasses, love surpasses anything. And that energy cannot resonate with love. But it certainly can when we get angry, when we get upset, when we get depressed. And I have to say that I've been there. And it isn't always easy to bring yourself out of it. I know when Chuck passed away, it was a difficult thing. But we can do it if we take some time, get quiet. Every single day, take a little bit of time, get quiet, and see that light within you and expand that light. And you can share that light with others. You can fill your whole house with that light and let the light flow out of your house and all over your neighborhood. And just see the entire neighborhood, the entire city, the entire state, the entire globe, just basking in that beautiful white love light that is consciousness, that is our source, and is what we are. And it's a beautiful thing. And at this time, in this world, in this physical realm, the more of us who do that, the more often that we do it, the more the light shines into the darkness, the less darkness there is, isn't it? Because there is, what is real has no opposite. And darkness is not opposite of light, it's the absence of light. Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine among men that your good works glorify your Father. Ye are the light of the world." I'll see you next week, folks. Until then, have a lovely week. Bless you. Bye-bye.
This is the tower. You are clear to land.
Tower, we'd have to go way out of our way to get to the airport. We're already lined up with this great golf course. It looks pretty nice. Can we land there instead?
Flight 719er, did you say golf course?
Oh, wait. How about the new parking lot? Can we land there?
Some people want to believe that there are many ways to heaven. Yet the Bible...